sometimes we know that we are standing on holy ground. Have you been present at a birth or a death? When we are privileged to be there for one of these miracles of transformation, we know there is no mistaking it. We are standing on holy ground. Whether it is joy or sorrow, ecstasy or anguish that we feel, we are standing on holy ground. In baptism, we watch as the infant or child or youth or adult has water poured on them three times in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then has the sign of the cross made on their forehead with the chrism, the holy oil. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. And we know we are standing on holy ground. Some years ago, I led a youth group on pilgrimage with the Lakota people in the Black Hills of South Dakota. And one day of that week, we had a sort of a mini pilgrimage all in one day. We made a 300-mile journey by van around the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. And we stopped at all the holy places, the Lakota holy places. Everywhere we stopped, we prayed. Some were places of great beauty. Some, like Wounded Knee, were places of horrible tragedy. All was holy ground. We drove and drove that day through a terrible thunderstorm where everything was darkness, and we were in this forest and it was dark as night. And at the end of the day, we came out of that forest and God gave us a double rainbow, the brightest rainbow that any of us had ever seen. God's yes to all of creation. And we stopped the vans and got out and watched it with awe. Holy ground. Maybe at some point you've been reconciled with a family member or a friend after a particularly painful argument. You ask each other's forgiveness and feel the holy ground under your feet. Holy ground can be anywhere, can be at home or in a hospital, can be at church, can be in God's creation. Holy ground can be in a relationship between persons. In another parish I served in Maine, St. Mark's Waterville, a familiar sight on Sunday morning was a set of 9 pairs of shoes all set out in a row outside the youth group's meeting room, because one of their spiritual practices was to take off their shoes every time they met, because they knew that they were standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Today we heard the story of Moses and holy ground. We are told that Moses led his flock beyond the wilderness. Beyond the wilderness. Why would he do such a risky thing? Moses led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to the mountain of God. Was Moses looking for God? I think so, because his eyes were open. He was ready to see when the miracle happened. Not directly in his path, but to the side. He saw a bush on fire, blazing yet unchanging. The eternal flame of God burning right before his eyes. And God's messenger, the angel of the Lord, appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the bush. Moses was ready to see. he was ready to risk. He turned aside from his path, and God responded. God called Moses by name and gave him instructions that no ordinary way of receiving this miracle would do. Moses, he said, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. How does God catch your attention? Are you ready to see God in the world around you? Are you ready to risk? Sometimes, not often, we get those burning bushes, the double rainbows, the incredible, unmistakable, unmissable experiences of God's grace and God's call. But most of the time, it is much more subtle and easier to miss unless we are intentionally searching, intentionally seeking to be open to God's messages to us. Jan Richardson, the poet, I will read her poem at the end of the sermon, says that nearly every story in the scriptures seems in one way or another to ask us, will we open our eyes, our ears? What will we do with what we see, with what we hear? How will we bear the terrible delight of the blessing that blazes before us, that burns within us? In this broken and chaotic time in our nation's life, I am living with the question, what is mine to do? This is Jan Richardson's poem, Blessing at the Burning Bush. You will have to decide if you want this. Want the blessing that comes to you on an ordinary day when you are minding your own path, bent on the task before you that you have done 100 times, 1,000. You will have to choose for yourself whether you will attend to the signs, whether you will open your eyes to the searing light, the heat, whether you will open your ears, your heart, to the voice that knows your name, that tells you this place where you stand, this ground so familiar and therefore unregarded, is in fact holy. You will have to discern whether you have defenses enough to rebuff the call, excuses sufficient to withstand the pull of what blazes before you. Whether you will hide your face, will turn away, back toward what exactly? No path from here could ever be ordinary again, could ever become unstrange to you, whose seeing has been scorched beyond all salving. You will know your path not by how it shines before you, but by how it burns within you, leaving you whole as you go from here, blazing with your inarticulate, your inescapable yes.